And in the order of the king, he's under the order of the king, But Yiro me onshoy, and he's afraid of his punishment. Im yaver al mitzvoisof, if he would be over on the mitzvahs. But liyargish the mitzvahs elohav, and he will not then feel what is Hashem is what Hashem is telling. Yiro me onshoy is not afraid of the mitzvahs. He's over the mitzvahs. Try to compare yourself. You're standing in front of a great king, and you are in command to service the king. And you know, if you do any little thing wrong, you're being actually punished. So usually people would be very much tense and very sensitive. But at the same time, you will not feel, lo yargish, you will not feel to mitzvah selekov. What is the order for HaKadosh Baruch on you? But you know, you're not afraid of his punishment. If you're going to transgress his command.
How could a person not be busy thinking what is the difference between the two orders? Between the order of a man, which he's afraid of, and between the order of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yaker, how shall he not recognize Masha ben Shnei Nyonim? What is between these two total different things? You know, if he's not listening to the king, what's the big deal? But if he's not listening to a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
One is Yira and one is Yagish, no? One is
here, Ma'on Shem, Yavah,
Mitzvah, and the
other one is the Tloyagish. The Yavah, Mitzvah, Selakaf, yeah. If he's not feeling this Shetun Yovin, Chush, the Yovin, you should understand, Chush is a Melech. The Kaim Gzeroisov, when he should try to analyze that really the king is too weak to fulfill his decrees. When he's servicing a man is after all a man, and a man has no power to overcome the transgressions. Is achoy mehapi loynish boy, and he can't. It's not always in his hand that he could really give the oynish on this man. Verochkoy mehashki folav. In the person and the king is distant to look on him to absorb him. Mitirdosav enafshemen. He's busy with himself. Look, the king, the bosavadam, which you are afraid of. He's totally not in self-command, and he's not in self-control, and he's distant for you, and he's not always going to feel what he ordered to do. And even then, you are afraid of him. Be afraid, my son, from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from a king. See the difference. Just like the noise of a lion from the fear of a king, like Shagasari. Look at the king, the boss of Adam, which is weak, is nothing. Even then, you're so much afraid. And how can you not be embarrassed when you look, when you understand that from Kodesh Baruch Hu, Shikzeros HaKayemes, all his orders stand. Hamashke for Otom, which always watches him. And nothing keeps busy at Kodesh Baruch Hu that he should not observe you. Nothing is being held back from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he should not be afraid from the punishment of Hashem, and he should rebel against Hashem. While he knows Shimashke for Hashem is looking at him, and he still looks in his inside and his outside. But he asks it over tshuva, and he will not do tshuva. And Masha Kodon, what you don't tinla. But Yoimar, he will say, come over Hamroisi. How long did I stood in my rebellion, as Dvorah and his, how much had you rebuilt in his, as Dvorah his word, the Hismid Sisrei Olai. The Hismid Sisrei Olai, and Kodesh Baruch Hu for a long time had hidden his punishment on me. He didn't make himself know like he knows. Therefore, Avakash Mechilosai, I should ask his Mechilah forgiveness from Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodem Shia Kreine Boilam, as before, he's going to pull me out of this world. Yaneine Boilam Abo, he's going to torture me in Oilam Abo. Like David says, Rosh Hashanah because he's arrogant, Bal Yidrosh. He will not make the cheshbon. He sees how long it goes, he's getting away with it. One day, other day, other day, other day, he doesn't make a cheshbon nefesh. Because there's Ein Elokim, Kol Mezimoy. So Hashem is not really looking in of all the things that he is doing.
What is arrogant?
Rosh Hashanah, Rosh because he's Apoy. In other words, because Hashem is the Erech HaPaim, because Hashem does not respond immediately on our shortcoming, we take it for granted Hashem is not watching or is forgiving. But we don't realize everything is being accumulated. Yes, Hashem is Erech Hapan. He will let a man go away. A man takes advantage of Hashem's Erech Hapan. The difference is, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu orders us, we are tachas mitzvos HaMelech. We have to know one thing. Nothing in the world goes by unnoticed, unrecorded. Nothing, period. One of our misconceptions is in life that usually in any physical domestic life, in worldly things, we are used to get away with things. And we think it's granted. Listen, you don't have to make an issue from everything. You don't have to realize everything. You don't have to take an accounting for everything. You don't have to be guilty for everything. Take care of yourself. Don't be so hard on you. Nobody is perfect. And we are entitled. And we are entitled to this. And we are entitled to that. And especially if things work. Things comes our way. And we see it works wonderful. And nobody is better. And we're giving ourselves thousands of excuses. A situation does let us give excuses. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is not responding immediately. But the truth of it is not so. The truth of the matter is that everything which we are doing leaves an effect, or to the good or to the bad. There's no deed, there's no word, there's no neglection which does not demand his pay. Every moment of our life will result in something, either for the good, either has to show for the opposite. Depends. Had you lived a positive moment, you're going to get a positive result. Had you lived not positively, there's no self-forgiveness. Yes, there's forgiveness if you do tshuva. Without tshuva, justifying our behavior.
Even a thought, right?
Keeping justifying our behavior will not cure anything. Actually, what we have to put in our heads very strongly. Imagine you're sitting in front of a computer, and you know the computer is loaded with a program, which is an endless production. You push one button, it saves a person's life. You push another button, it kills a person's life. You push one button, it loses $1,000. You push another button, it makes $1,000. And you know every button there is between good and bad, between life and death, every button, there's no innocent button, there's no neutral button. So if there would be a possibility, that you could sit in front of the computer and not to push, you'd be busy with yourself. If there would be a possibility to sit in front of the computer and not to push any buttons, you could relax. But what happens if you're sitting in front of this button, of a computer, and you're being forced to push buttons? You're pushing buttons. The fact I don't know which button I'm moving, pushing, this does not relieve me from a responsibility of not being nervous. Yes, if I could say, okay, I'm unemployed, I'm sitting in front of the computer but not pushing any buttons, so why should I be nervous? Why should I be tense? I don't know what buttons I've pushed, I don't know the meaning of the buttons, I'm not sure I push it life or death. So I'm sitting back doing nothing. If there would be a possibility to sit back and do nothing, so that you have a way to keep, you know, have a vacation. But life is not so. Life is that everything in your life, every moment of your life, you're pushing buttons, if you like it or not. That's the real message. The message is, we are never unemployed of pushing those buttons. And the result, the consequence of the buttons is from extreme to extreme. Either you gained life, either you committed suicide. You may not see the life immediately, you may not see the suicide liberty, what has come out. The only thing which you could really do is do tshuva. If you always keeping correcting. Therefore, we should never be unemployed from tshuva. Tshuva is an ongoing necessity because since we always keep pushing buttons, even while we think, even do nothing, we also push buttons, either positive buttons. Sometimes you lay in bed and it's time to go to sleep and you have a mind thinks. And by the way, have in mind, you're pushing buttons, either life, either death. And there's no innocent button. That's what I'm trying to say. Life is so productive, there is no empty life. A Jew is a loaded developer. Either develop life, either develop death. And that's what the Torah says, that that's the Bechira for man. Hey, look, man, or noichi, I, noise, and give le fanech, or front of the hayom, right now, it's a chame, samo, it's a tayvah, surah. Because Bochum continuously speaks to us, continuously to us that I'm putting in front of you life and death. That means to say, our bechira in chaim, our choice of life, is always between good and bad, always between life and death. And this is a very important message. And people who try to avoid this message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are the first one to fail. Because people want to be easy, want to have an easy life, want to be easy on themselves, don't want to be hard on themselves, but at the same time they love Hashem, they know this, so they say, okay, there is life, there is death, you know, if I do an Aveira, I'm going to do that, if I'm going to do a mitzvah, I'm going to do that, but in between, I'm taking a vacation. But there is no vacation, every moment and every second, so if that's the case, we have to be extremely sensitive and always be alert and always be hard on ourselves. That number one, to analyze what I'm doing now, is it life, is it death? And there's no in between. And unfortunately, if you don't do this, so things get accumulating, all of a sudden things get a blow up in our face, that sometimes we can't even cure it. We can't even go back and cure it because we accumulated, we're not sensitive. Therefore, when David HaMelech says, my sin is always in front of me. We have a habit to always like to have the excuse in front of us. But we don't like to have the sin, our failure in front of us. It always will echo, you know, where I'm right and the other person is wrong. Why am I right? And why am I entitled to this? Why am I that? Yes, Hashem knows much more what you are entitled. And the second person should be melamed you lekafkos. But you yourself, don't be busy being melamed yourself too, because you're a good lawyer for yourself for a long time of your life. You used it since a little child. You always excuse yourself because
you
have
a lawyer.
You have your own lawyer. So don't help yourself. It's much easier if a person should always knock himself, and a person should always see, but knock yourself in a positive way, not in a way that you feel that's beyond cure, because you have to know there's always the tshuva button. There's a button always in the computer where you could always take back the yesterday's wrong button, the wrong pushing, and recute. You know, there's a data word processor. When you made a mistake in a long letter, you could always go back, boom, and correct them, and you could come back. That's tshuva. But that tshuva, but you're never going to push that button as long as you keep justifying yourself. And this is actually what the cheshbon is, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is never stopping watching you. Kodesh Baruch Hu is always registering everything. Every move and every thought and every word is a cause and effect, it leaves an effect. How come you're not nervous? By the time when you're standing on the command of a king, a command of a man, this man is much too short to record anything and everything. And of course, he's much too short to punish you, whatever he says. And even there you are afraid. And Hashem, which is not a vater, and Kodesh Baruch Hu does not forgive anything. If you don't do tshuva, everything will be in a carton. How come you're not nervous? How come you don't think about watching on yourself? Vashiva Vesim, the 27th Cheshbon. Cheshbon, Odom Amin Avshem, when a person makes a Cheshbon, it is nefesh. Keshetovai Olav Robe Gufai, when all of a sudden going to come something bad to his body. He's going to feel not well. Or in his money, his business doesn't go well. Or the inyan minyan of any other inyan in his inyan. It's everything. It's a relationship with his husband, with his wife, with his children, with his boss, whatever. Be'ikavel hakol melekov b'simcha. He will receive anything which is coming across his life. He will receive it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'simcha. He knows it comes from Hashem. And I say Hashem knows what he is doing. Hakol b'simcha. Be'yizbo'el sevel. And he will accept, he will tolerate what Hashem is giving him. Roitze b'din hu Elohim. He accepts the din from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'loy sevel miskatzav al gzerosai. And he is not angry on the gzera of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kuma shenema, like the Pesuk says, v'chikisi l'Hashem. I was waiting for Hashem. Hamastir ponav me b'si Yaakov, which is hiding the face of the house of Yaakov. V'kivisi lo, in a hope thing. Says Shai said, when there is a darkness and we don't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing with us, because Master Ponov is hiding his face like Anochi Asa Ponov, says the Chikisilo Hashem was waiting for the end, the Kivisilo, I was waiting, I accepted it. This is the next cheshbon that we should see, to accept anything which Hashem is doing. Of course, not to accept when we get a blow in our face when we did it. When we blow it, of course, then you're going to be punished. Why do you blow it? But when you do everything which has to be done 100%, and Hashem is master pona, of course, Baruch is hiding, you're accepting it. Because the minute when you're not accepting it, then you're getting immediately angry at the Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you blow it again. When people get irritated, things don't go the way I go, then of course they're blowing it. But all year the person shouldn't be commissioned emerald like the one who has been set on him. When he comes hungry, he cuts off. He becomes angry. All of a sudden, doesn't get what his body needs. He gets immediately angry. And he's already cursing his king and his God. Upono lemalo, and he's immediately complaining against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, this pasuk which Yeshaya says doesn't mean literally a person turns to Hashem and curses Hashem and is angry at Hashem. We're doing it. We have many anger at Hashem. And we really go against Hashem many, many times because we are angry. And we say, oh no, we don't mean Hashem, but we do mean Hashem. When a person gets hungry, what does it mean? Not mean hungry, that's in the stomach. When a person doesn't get what his body is used to, what he needs. So a person who has a short tolerance level, that immediately things doesn't go his way, he's bursting, like he's blowing up. He's cut off. Becomes angry. And immediately, when he doesn't behave, when he steps down from and he's already cursing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Upon the malice, complains against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, doesn't mean literally comes out cursed. The fact that he stops working the way he worked, just because remember we spoke a lot on Yom Kippur. We spoke about Hotonu, Shamni, remember on Chotonu, Poshanu, Rishanu. Remember when do you know a person ever who is going against the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Goes to the Lebeze and Achos in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Chotosi Visi Pshati. Chet means an unintentional sin. Visi means an intentional, but it's a mumer. It's mumer leteoven. You know, you went, you did something, what was good for you? Poshati means you go against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lahachas. So remember we explained, when does a person go lahakos? Anyone knows himself going lahakos of Kodesh Baruch Hu, you have no benefit of the chet. You have no benefit, you're just doing it to spite Hashem. Do we know ourselves in such a way? No, I hardly know a Jew today that is going to spite Hashem. I'm still lahakos nik. But that's what we're saying in ourselves. Chotosi ovisi pshati. What's in pshati? Pshati means pesha, doing a sin for the sake of a sin. Chotosi means I failed. Ovisi means I did wrong because, you know, it was good for me. Poshati means even it's not good for me, I'm doing it, I'm a poshaya, purposely. Which person is a poshaya purposely? And the answer, this is comes in Mamashti, it comes from this line. That sometimes we have a sense of feeling that we're getting angry, things doesn't go our way. And the minute we're getting angry, we drop from our level of Yiddishkeit. We're not so high, we're not so particular, we're not so nice as we were when things go straight. What right do we have to drop? Because the answer is because I'm angry. Angry too at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you don't declare it. But Lemaisa, it's a certain type of an anger. Because it doesn't go my way, immediately he's spiteful. It expresses himself very little petty things. But they're not so. Anytime when a person has a certain level of Yiddishkeit, the Damas, his Makbet Chumras, and his Dus, his Besimcha, all of a sudden when things doesn't go the way he wants it should go, he lets go from his behavior. And says, why? Actually, it's an undeclared declaration. The way you deal with me, I'm pretty nice, I'm pretty good Jew, I'm still doing pretty good things. Like, you know, and this is called Peshati. Peshati, you don't have to go out against Hashem, you're not coming out with words against Hashem. But your behavior changes. Your behavior changes like you're angry because you're angry because I'm hurt. You know, under the situation I'm hurt. Okay, never mind. I'm still performing pretty well. According to the way you deal with me, Hashem, I deal pretty good. And you don't even say it. You don't even know it. It's a subconscious reaction. Because the best proof it is when Hashem is when you are good, when you're feeling good, everything goes well with you. You love it, Hashem. You do everything. You do fine. You're high. Everything's fine. The little thing doesn't go wrong. You become non-noticeable, spiteful about anything and everything. And you will pick on every little thing. You couldn't get along with the people around you, you couldn't get along with Hashem, you couldn't get along with anything. And you get nervous. Where does that come from? Hey, listen, Hashem, what are you doing to me? Why are you doing to me? The minute he doesn't give you 100% what he wants to give you, you immediately come out against him. That this is expressed in this pasuk without the harsh words. So it's, who are you, Kiyiraf? When a person gets a little bit hungry, he doesn't get what he wants, he cuts off. He becomes immediately angry. And when he becomes angry, the killer the Malka Velahov. Actually, he's already cursing his king Hashem without curses. Upon Malo, and he's directing himself against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now this does not necessarily have to come out with words, with harsh words, it just comes with a change of behavior. And that's when we say Ochotosi or Visi Pshati. Pshati means when a person is dropping his behavior to Kodesh Baruch Hu, justifyingly, you know, it's whatever he does to me, it's enough. Exactly. It's beautiful. That's Mamash the Pshat. Kol HaKoyes, somebody gets angry, it's like he worships the Vodazur. Why? Because what's the right to be angry? What's me you're getting angry? It's coming to me. It didn't got, you're getting angry. What's me getting angry? That means, all of Vodazur, they're not accepting Hashem behavior to you. And in here a man is being tested. Odam Nikar V'Koyesoy, V'Kisoy, V'Kasoy.
But so there is a time to be angry.
Eis lichos is not the way a person wants to interpret him. Eis lichos is when you have to be angry at yourself to kill your yetzer hara. You have to be a konoit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you see Rishoyim are doing things, it's Eis lichos.
When you see Rishoyim,
yes, but when you're getting non-controlled chaos because of selfish reasons, it's Odom Nikar. That's the real man. A man could be high, could be everything fine, could be fed, and everything is being pushed. As long as you take away the thing, all of a sudden the person explodes. Odom Nikar. That's what the Mishnah says. Odom Nikar, a person is recognized who he is. You know when? The Koisai, when he drinks, he loses control, then the real thing comes out. Of the Kisai, on his pocket, because money is just like the essence of a man, the stability of a man. Of the Kasai, when a man gets angry. Because when a man gets angry, he goes against Hashem, he's spiteful against everyone and everyone. Now, against him, doesn't it? I'm not going to put on tefillin. When a person can't express his responsibility with Odom L'chaveira from a person to his friend, to the next one, to his spouse, just because he's angry, it's also nikar. Because, you know, what does it mean? You have responsibilities. What are you? Hashem is not watching all of a sudden. That means we're angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that means that that actually avoid the zone. Like, I couldn't care, I couldn't give a damn for anyone, even including Hashem. Of course, I've got to keep Shabbos, things like that. But not, I'm not going to do little. And that's actually the avak of Peshati. But Da Ochi says, no, my brother. All the 10 tests which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avraham Avinu. You know, Avraham Avinu could have withstand all the 10 tests, would have 100% been able to accomplish his mission, but the praise did not come the fact he did it. The praise, every sign was not fulfilled by that he was under his sign. Rather, that he withstand. Lule, you know why we praise him? Shemikabel hakom elohav, he accepted the rot from the tuv levav. The Meirdiger statement from the Chavis Salvovas. The godless of Avraham Avinu is not that he made Yitzchak on the Akeda, that the Lech Lecha Ma'atra fulfilled, but he did it with Simcha v'tav levav, he accepted it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all. That the relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu had not seen. Sometimes we have Nisyoines, and we oimed ben Nisyoin. We stand in the Nisyoin. But still, even semi-sign, but we sour, we bitter, we sensitive, we immediately explode. That's not considered standing in the sun. Yes, you practical enough that you know that you can't fight God. You practical enough that you know that you can't go against Hashem. She accepting it as an operator. But accepted with Simcha V'tov Levav, says the whole beauty of Avraham Avinu's Lushem, Mikabel HaKol Melahav, he accepted them because of Berotzoim, with desire, with Tuv Levav, with good heart. So, Kumash Shem Rapoche says, Mitzosis Levav HaNemo Lefanecho. After the third Nisyonis, Hashem says, I found this heart Nemo, was fully, trustfully accepted it. The same thing, Zoyotzi Mitzrayim Lo Nischaivu, La'ashim HaMelochichim HaMidbar, and the Doram Midbar, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Musa for them, and they were in the queues, they get Musa, Ela, why? Out of his katzpam, because they got angry against Hashem. Shlolibam toivim Elohim v'im Nevi'oi. The heart was not complete and good with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mashom HaLakposik says, V'fatu b'fiyem, and they fooled me with their mouth, and with tongues delight, and the heart was not complete. Any little thing, they were angry, let's go back, we don't have food. They made a whole big fuss about food. Here Hashem takes them into the midbar, gives them man min hashamayim every day, takes care on them. Or they'll be complaining, I want a steak like this, and a liver like that, and food like this. And they made a whole fuss about food, about the menu, they made a whole fuss. Now, it's such a big avera to make a fuss about the menu, it's not a big avera, it shows you're not appreciating what you have. So the avera of the Dara Midwa, you gave Musa, was not what they're done, but under what reason they're done it. You get Hashem is taking care of you, but what you're complaining about little petty things, the water doesn't, this doesn't come in time. Many times they've shown the rebellious. Mirdom in Miriam Belohim. They showed the merida in the merida, in the bitterness against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Many times came by forest brisoy and by destroying the karma of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kashet in Tzoyim as you find in the whole Inyan. In every part that you have, this Avim Loshu Mitzrayim. Any little thing, they always wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. But they made it. You know, what does it mean? We know, the Chazal tell us, it's very important to learn the Schoel Savov as well, because this is something which you repeat today daily. Chazal tells, Chayv Odom Lira says, Atzma Kili Hi Yotze Me Mitzrayim. A person has to see himself like he was out of Mitzrayim. What is Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim means when a person is enslaved to his own little chum, his own little animalism, he's in Mitzrayim. When a person comes out of his animalism, gains freedom, he comes out of it and gains control and lives a Torah life, lives a high life, he's a Yotze Me Mitzrayim. And that is the Chayvod of Niris, a person has to see himself that he goes out from Mitzrayim continuously. A person always has to see to be Yotze Me Mitzrayim. Now what's happening when a person came out of Mitzrayim? He's Baruch Hashem good, he's high, he's living Torah, he's happy, is everything fine? And any little thing, he pulls back, he remembers the good times that he used to have when he was a little animal back in Mitzrayim. We all have this. We all grow. But every time when we grow, the time when I'm high, when I'm growing, when out of Mitzrayim, I laugh at myself, look, when I was a little animal there in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, when I was there. But what's happening anytime when I'm a little bit irritated out there, immediately I remember with nostalgia the good times that I used to have in Mitzrayim. We always go back, you know. That's exactly what he says. What was the head of Mitzrayim? Kashetim Tzoyim, you're going to find them in Midbar. In Midbar they went out of Mitzrayim. They had everything. They were high. They received the Torah, because Baruch Hu takes care of them. But you find the Bacholin, and every time they had a little irritation, Misavim Loshu Mitzrayim. They always wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. But then they remember, this says, Chanes Adogo Shachalim in Mitzrayim Chinam. They remember the fish when they ate free in Mitzrayim. So Chazal Tzavadas in Chinam. Chinam in HaMitzvah. They had such a free time. They could do what you wanted. Everything was okay. Everything was justified. I remember everything was in the past was a mitzvah. The whole lifestyle was a mitzri. You're living now a Torah lifestyle. Why are you looking back? Why do you want to be? Why do you want to feel back on the same stupidities which you had cultivated yourself at the time when you were a slave? So the bare fact that you have now the opportunity to live on Torah, to live on Ruchnius, and you are still yearning back on this little mitzvah which you came back, that's your failure. And he calls it to Pomer Abbas and Marim. They actually had shown. There was a little foolish children, they always showed Mirdom, their rebelliancy, Miriam, their bitterness, Belohim in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when this little child doesn't get what he wants, the first thing is spiteful to the one who gives him a Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, gave me the Torah, gives me the one, feeds you, and every time they wanted to go back, actually what did they do? They rebelled and they were shown bitterness against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it says, Toiv lo nilo shem Mitzrayim. It was good there. I didn't have any problems. He'd have problems. He'd have too high or lows. All those things. Those days used to be better. I used to have things. But this is called Miriam in Merida. The Seve La Toiv. Seve La Toiv, at the same time, when a person has good tolerance, what is Mida Toiv is a good Mida. A Seve Shabu Olav Mukhrach. Boy, but as any talents which the man has to, ain't about a scholar of has a lot of chila boy. Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu make so that a person should be so vulnerable? Why? Because when a person has freedom of choice and has vulnerability, therefore when he works on himself, it's his credit. You see, a man always has to have a bechira. A man always has to have a bechira. I would ask ourselves, do we have a bechira of keeping Shabbos? Do you have a begir of keeping Shabbos on the Mechal and Shabbos? Do you have a begir of Chag? No, we have no begir. So where is the begir? The answer is, on keeping Shabbos, I have no begir. But how to accept Shabbos? There you have begir. So, as the Sevel Atoiv, Sevel means, you know, Sevel means the suffering, tolerancy, which is good. is Midat Tov is a good thing. The fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu gives me this opportunity to check myself is a good thing. Why? Because there my Bechira being expressed. Have a Sevel Shabol of Mukhras Boy, but anything which you have to, you have no choice, Eilo Bol of Scharo. There you have no Schar, but not Mechila, but not forgiveness too. So therefore, every time we have this checkpoint, how do you... So it comes out, the beauty of a person is being expressed, as we said before, because of the kiss of the castle. Not you're going to do something wrong, but how will you accept? Will you accept the Rotsim Tov Levav? Like you said, Avraham Avinu had to make the ten Nisyonis. He knew Hashem. So the Nisyonis was not Nisnas. He was not tested the fact that he withstood the ten Nisyonis. Of course he withstood the ten Nisyonis. Who of us wouldn't have withstood it? But the seven of Toivav, the middle of Toivav, did he do the Rotsim Tov Levav? Did he accept the Besimcha? And when there is Besimcha, when a person could accept Besimcha when things doesn't go my way, and he's acting out, and now it becomes duty. So it's Takilochi, look my brother. Mavin Shnei Asvolim. Look what the difference between these two sufferings, between the two carryings, between the two tolerancing. This boy in Efreshesh Ben Shnei Inyonim, look the difference between the two Inyonim. The Chaloik Inyon Asevel Ben Afshechol Shloisha Chalokim. Look, divide the Inyan HaSevel, the fact that you have to tolerate, you have to suffer in with your soul, divided in three departments. HaSevel HaRavoides Elohim, that you have to carry HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you have to tolerate HaKadosh Baruch Hu to serve Him in a positive way. HaSevel HaRam Roisoi, and you have to tolerate not to rebel against, not to the Avedas. HaSevel HaPigo Oilam, and then what's happening to you on the world. In other words, man is divided in three departments. One, in doing mitzvahs, you're always under the load of mitzvahs. Two, not to do aveiros, you're always affected by aveiros, by the shoynas. Three, the sevel, that you have to suffer, that you always get confronted with the world events, which is doesn't go according to you liking. Now the third one, the sevel al pigo oilam, world events, which are coming not to the way you liking, nechlet the shepherd is also divided in two. Who a sevel mashachosel al heder doveroth? Either he suffers because he doesn't have what he wants to have. You have things in the world which you would love to have, but don't have. The ezmem shi and what it is. Yochel shi tischav. The ezmem shi yeh. Yochel shi tischav al heder doveroth. Yochel shi tischav al derech oynish. Many times, things you should be responsible because he doesn't give it to you because Kodesh Baruch Hu punishes you. Because he doesn't give it to you, Kodesh Baruch Hu through that forgives you avoiders. Or she has cholam in alim lecho al derech hanisonim mitzvah. Or Kodesh Baruch Hu testing you. In the area when things doesn't go the way you want, it's also divided in two. Either Hashem doesn't give it to you for your benefit, because through that he's moichel your avoiders. Or he doesn't give you what you want in order to test you, derech hanisonim v'amifkan. And through that, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will give you more reward because he tested you. Now, whatever the reason shouldn't be, why Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't give you what you desire, what you need, what you want. Either it's because of wiping off your sins, or because of testing you. It's appropriate, you should accept it. You should accept it with happiness, because you know both of them is for your benefit. If it is to be kaporis avoyinus, of course you should be happy, because Baruch Hu is cleansing you here. It is when it's so, it means because Baruch Hu prepares you for a higher stage. Says, all the paths of Kodesh Baruch Hu is chesed ve'emes, is kindness and truth, the noitzer brisa v'adoysav, those who observe his bris and his mitzvahs. Kiro, haboy lecho, because the badness which comes on you, comes imhu limchol avonecho, or it comes the badness in order to forgive your avoyness, he emes, and this is true, the imhi, or it is, as cholam es alakim, Kodesh Baruch Hu starts up you a new growth, losos tmerosak mulatoy, valtsav luchan isoyen, who wants to give you the word in the world to come, because you carry this test, he chesed, and it's chesed Kodesh Baruch Hu, and you have chesed emes, either it's emes, either it's chesed. In other words, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, what he does with us, things which is not comfortable, it's either emes, either chesed. MS is, and of course, Baruch Hu pays out the way we are worth it in order to forgive us. We made a voidness. Then this is MS. And we should be happy because Baruch Hu conducts with you MS. So this is forgiving your Averis. Either you didn't do Averis, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu starts up a new Nisoyan to give you more schar and to make you grow, then it's chesed, then it's a chesed of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. But either way, you should accept it happily. You should know Kodesh Baruch Hu is running your life either through Emes, and it's good to remember, it's very good to have it, you know, to file it in our mind. Every behavior of a Kodesh Baruch Hu with us is either under the category of Emes, either the category of chesed. Now, When we see something is going against us, not the way we want, and we ask Hashem, why do you do it for me? So the first thing should be, it's emes. Because Baruch Hu behaves to me according I deserve. I deserved it. I made Avedas. Okay, I did Shiva. Because Baruch Hu is now Mechaper, Yisurim, and Markin. That should be our first one. So then be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because actually, you're forgiving. However, if you made a Cheshbon HaNefesh, and you see that you had enough Yisurim, and you did enough Tshuva, while of a sudden you deserve Yisurim, and you can't see in Emes why Hashem does it to you, then the second thing is this Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu behaves with you with Chesed. What do you mean Chesed? That Hashem wants you to grow, Hashem testing you more, wants to give you more. And if you're going to become better, because you're looking in those inyonim in your heart, and you see the way Hashem behaves to you, and you're accepting everything, the end of your suffering will be toif, will be good, because you're accepting it. By the way, the suffering itself is already good. And the reward for the suffering, muftach, is guaranteed, because you're working for a reason. You're suffering for a reason. How can they for okay, my brother? Out is Alein. Don't look away. Don't live quite machshav to chotomi. That's a beautiful word of Chazal. Don't go on vacation. Don't try to avoid your machshava. Tommy, it's steady. Always be alert, thinking, making these beautiful calculations. If you always think machshav be inyan avein disinyan, oz yichazek sivlochol Elohim, then you're going to get strengthened with carrying this suffering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything going to come onto you, you're going to look excited, Baruch Hashem, Hashem is busy with me, either with emes, either with chesed. You're always gaining. The yokel me'olecho is going to be light and easy on you, b'halash alipcho, when you're going to bring out on your heart, tzar, horo, umeriris, asevel, the big pain of the badness and the bitterness of the sevel. Why are we irritated? Why do we blow? Because we can't accept the pain and the bitterness. But remember, if you remember this is coming from Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's going to be easier on you to accept the bitterness and the pain. You're not going to be yoyre, and it's going to show out on Tzon Chatoiz, on your good will, b'gzeres Elohim. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is goizel on you, v'snachem choboy, and you're going to be comforted, you're going to be b'snach, and b'tchoin chol, we're going to rely on Kodesh Baruch Hu. K'mo shenemar, like the Pasuk says, chizku v'amitz levavchem, strengthen and reinforce your heart, kolam yachal and Hashem, those who are always relying on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now actually, let's capsulize this he didn't actually elaborate on the other two sevels. He says a person is always under three stresses. We're always under three of seven. Seven means a stress. We're always being stressed with three things. Either to do enough what we have to do for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, or we have a pressure, right? Are we good enough for Kodesh Baruch Hu? It's one pressure. The second pressure is, aren't we bad enough for the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Are we fulfilling all the mitzvahs? Am I fulfilling all the mitzvahs and so on and so? That's the one sevel is a seitoif. The other sevel is sur mirah. And the third sevel is confronting life the way Hashem gives it to us. Accepting life the way Hashem gives it to us. So actually, I only elaborated here on the third one. And he says, the third sevel, the third sufferings which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, accepting life that Hashem gives it to us, could be, is divided in two categories. Either you accept life that Hashem gives it to us because you know it's coming to you, and it's a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's an emes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you, you know, to forgive your avedus. Either it's a chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you couldn't find any avedus why Hashem does it to you, you couldn't justify Hashem does it to you, it means Hashem wants you to grow. Hashem compelled you to go. Because
the third one that is divided into two.
Two, right.
The first one is on things that you had and you lost, and all the other that you never had.
These
are the things
But even those, both of the things that you had, that you never had, even that you had lost, could also always be interpreted for two reasons. Could be interpreted either because of emes is coming to kaporis avoiners, either it's a chesed Hashem. And after that, we say chesed came kol ayon. Chesed Kodesh Baruch Hu is a whole day. That means Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to grow every day. Kol ayon, the whole day, there's no rest in this world. You have to know the minute you grow a little bit, immediately, the best proof is that kol ha-godel m'chaveiro, yitzra godel m'menoi. The more a person is great, the more a person grows, his yitzra goes along. Why does yitzra go along? Because that's a nisayon. We never ever get vacation of our growth. You can never sit back. You know, when you learn yeshiva, there's a break of time, right? You go, when we can learn this vacation. There's no vacation at all in growth of Avodas Hashem. Now, if you succeeded, you had a good day, you had a good week, you had a beautiful, you were steiging Madregas, and as Hashem does, He makes the Yetzer Hara grow with it. And what does He do with the Yetzer Hara? It makes Him only serious, most of no complication. That's the reason why we fail. Sheva Yipol Tzadik, the Kob. Seven times the Tzadik fails. What does it mean seven? Seven means it's a repeated pattern. Seven is Teva, is nature. As long we are in the natural world, we are under the fact. We must fail. We must fail. Why do we must fail? Because the greater I become, the greater my Yetzer Hara becomes. And how does Yetzer Hara prove it? That it makes me fail. But why did it make me fail when I became big? In order to make a new swing and to come back again and to get a further growth. You can't, you know, the child does never go like this. Child goes up, for up, zigzagging. You read the Tzarech Aliyah. But there must be a reader, the Tzarech Aliyah. But to say, Hashem, leave me alone, why I'm tested, I'm tested. Oh yes, you're going to be tested to the last moment of your life. To the last moment of your life you're tested. He doesn't let you in peace one moment. I used to say many times, to the Chubez of Hashem, said to the Bokhar of Pazin Yeshiva, he said what, you know, he was many, many times sick, maybe, I don't know, 12 heart attacks, he was in the hospital, I think, for years. He was a very sick person. So once he was in the hospital, and he almost passed out. And Baruch Hashem, then he came back, the next day, the next time when he spoke in the past for the Bokharim, he says this word, says, Bokharim, let me tell you who the Yetzer Hara is. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you, introduce you to the real Yetzer Hara. It's unbelievable when he works on you. And he says, I was in the hospital. There was nobody there. It was one afternoon. I had terrible pain, and I felt I'm leaving the world. I'm passing out. And I was preparing to pass out, like I made video, and you know, I was on Machu Shemaim, and I was turning to the wall in great pain. And while I was preparing to leave the world, I reminded myself, the Gemara says, if somebody is passing out, dying, with a face to the public, it's a good sign. With a face to the wall, it's a bad sign. Said, what will happen? They're going to find me dead with a face to the wall. They're going to say it's a bad sign. Spontaneously, when this thing came in my mind, I started turning around. But I was very weak, full of pain. I was starting turning around. And then I said to myself, aren't you embarrassed yourself? Now, the last moment of crucial time of your life, you haven't got anything else on your mind. What people are going to say about you? This is your last thing that you have in mind. Even now, you want to grab my moment? I said, no. And he went on preparing, you know, I didn't make the move. And Baruch Hashem, he came back then. He told us the story. He says, Bochem, see, this is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara does not let you in peace the last moment of your life. Now, what does it mean? I mean, the Mechuveh was a big tzaddik. I don't have to say who he was, but he was zeicher for everything, but he was zeicher. Now imagine how much this man had grown under this moment when he was, according him, passing out. Like he was debating his Yetzer Hara, was debating his growth under the moment. Says, what do you want from me now, leaving the world, leaving six little children behind? This is, Yetzer Hara is very brutal. Very, very brutal. It doesn't give peace. But if you work him, if you fight him, you're going to grow. And if you fail, you failed. But next moment, go further. Of course, yeah, human beings, we are soldiers. We don't have to be devastated if we failed. But just because I failed, I don't have to justify that failure. I know I failed, not grow. But when you keep justifying, then you're never going to grow. Because you keep justifying I failed, you could never uplift yourself. The fact I failed, yes, I'm a human being, I'm tired of the failure. Yevet Tov Yudches. Vashmoyne ve'esrim, the 28th calculation. Cheshbon odom nafshoi. The person makes a cheshbon with himself. Achar bitchoina ala Elohim. After when he relied on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imasra olav es nafshoi, and he gave over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu his soul, vashmoyne and his money, ubon of his shir v'chol yinyonav. Now when a person came to Madrega, that he was Bater Vashem. And he gave over in the true bitochen, you know, let me ask you, what is real bitochen? You know, people think that real bitochen comes, you know, when a person reluctantly can't do anything anymore, okay, so you rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
That's really not bitochen. Bitochen is when you have options. Bitochen is when you could do things. When you could help yourself. And you evaluate what does the Torah want for you, what does Hashem want for you, and if you're going to do according to Torah, you're not going to be so successful. You're not going to be so good. And when you go to line of Kodesh Baruch Hu, you rely on Hashem, it doesn't look good. And you develop the bitochen that you rely on Hashem, and you're not relying on nature, that means literally giving over your life. It has to do with doctors, you give over your life, money, businesses, all kind of things, all kind of calculations. It's a business which could be done. Nice profit. But according to Choshen Mishpat, it's not 100%. So if you look at it, if ishtadlus that you make putting in your effort, your business effort, if you rely on your business effort, you have to do it. You're postponing a $1 million profit. But if you 100% want to do 100% according to Torah, it's not 100%, you're losing $1 million. What makes you possible to listen to Torah, not to you? Because you're b'terach Hashem. And you gave over your money, you gave over your life, you gave over your children. Everything you give over, like chinuch system. There's a chinuch system, there's a two chinuch system. One chinuch system about our logic is much better, much more dedicated, much nicer, much better, everything. You know, all the balabatim of the shtot say this is so and so and so. But there's certain blemishes which, according to refined Torah, you can't explain it, it's missing. And if you doubt the chinuch system, it's much more obliged to Torah to go, well, doesn't they haven't got all these things? And what do you do now? So it hurts your heart to see that you have to take out the child from a chinuch system which l'choyri is a much better product, and you're doing it only because according to Torah this is better. So you see, bitochen means, bitochen only comes to realization when you sacrifice something for your bitochen, either yourself, your life, either your money, either your children. And he gave everything over to Hashem. Now, because you're standing in your life.
The example I gave with the Choshen Mishpat, that's a halacha question, a little bit, but like I say, you want money away for a wedding for your children. You can give all the money away to Tzedakah now. Right, but tough. Why should I save for my children's wedding? When it's time for the wedding, I'll either snore or I'll have money. You know, that to me, that's
even better, even greater. Okay. Yeah. The question, what are you doing, really? What is the answer? Are you allowed to take away your savings money from the children's wedding and give it away?
No. Then you'll
start to obey it. It's Sarah Chabir, so you have to take even that. What are you doing with the money? You're not spending the money. You're giving it away. You're saving somebody. You're marrying off somebody else's child. A closer scholar. You're saving Torah.
So then, yes.
So, but are you allowed or not allowed?
That depends on the person, how you.
It level. Depends on the person to what level your bitochen is. If you give it away, and because you rely on Hashem, and again, what is bitochen? Bitochen means not relying on Hashem, when it's going to come, I'm sure when it's going to come the time to marry my child, I'm going to have the money from Hashem. Because I have it now, it's not going to shortchange me. That's not bitochen. Because then you're making deals. Bitochen means Hashem gave me a child, and everything is destined, and everything is written up. Now I have money. I don't know if I'm going to live long. I don't know if my child is going to live long. Now I could do with money something good. Now I'm chaperein. Now I'm doing it. Now, if it's going to come the time that my child will have to get married, and I will have no money to give it, and I will have no money to give the marry of my child, so my child is going to marry a schnorrerish wedding, will have nothing, I'm going to accept this. Because if that's going to happen, that's what Hashem wants. And whatever Hashem wants is good for me. That's called bitochen. Bitochen means that nothing on the world will disappoint me. You're never going to regret what you had done. Never going to regret. Because you say to yourself as follows. If this child gets married without money, if I would have not given away the money, he would have had money. He also wouldn't have money. You would have lost the money 3,000 times. How many people save money 6 months before the child gets engaged, you lost the money? I mean, one foolish, crazy thing, you lend the money to somebody, put it in the stock market, and it got wiped out. And there's no money and nothing. That's called bitochen. Bitochen means that you act on something because you rely on Hashem, and no difference what the outcome will be will ever change your mind. The contrary. You're going to be even happy.
So what's going to happen if a tzech like that to give away his money savings? And he says, Mamon of Shaf, if Hashem wants, my child has his destiny. And if Hashem wants to give Mary off, he will have it anyhow. If not, he will not have it anyhow, not. And he went to give up, his mother said, what do you do? Maybe not going to have money. We're not going to have money. Comes the master's wedding, and Baruch Hashem, there's no money, and the child is penniless, and marrying off a child penniless. It's really not easy. Then he turns to his eyes and says, you know how lucky we are, we spend all the money. They gave away for tzedakah, we do something. Because if the child gets married penniless, it means it was b'sher to get married penniless. It's all this money which I didn't give away, we would have lost it. We would have no money, it would have got penniless, it would have been devastated and broken. Baruch Hashem, they gave away the money. Not the stock market took it away. Not really. That's called bitochen. That's true bitochen. And that's not the spoke here. I was emphasizing, if you... Baruch Elokeinu, blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shebaronu, He created us to chvoida, for His covet. We are here for His covet's sake. Everything which we do here is lahoisit covet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything was given for covet. How do we produce covet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? True, no salon in Torah's emes. Because He gave us a Torah which is emes. Torah is absolute. And how you don't see the Torah producing what is beautiful. You see, now, what will people say? Here is a man, he had $100,000 in the bank, saved up for his wedding of his child. His child is 5 years more to go. All of a sudden, he comes to a situation to him, he says, you know, for $100,000, you make 1,000 Baal Tshuvas. Literally, actually, that's it. And the man says, wait a second, I could make 1,000 Baal Tshuvas. I could have 1,000 Jews this Shabbos, going to be Shemir Shabbos, and if not this Shabbos, they're going to be Mechala Shabbos. And what I'm doing, and I have the ability. Here are the people who are doing, all you have to do, 10 seminars. You make 10 seminars in Israel, or you could do it in 5 seminars, 200 people in a seminar, and you convert them in one weekend, you convert them into Shabbos, Shabbos, Lamaisa. Cheshbonis, how long are they going to be? I don't care. This Shabbos, they kept Shabbos. I could buy now for $100,000, 1,000 Jews becoming Shemir Shabbos. And what is Shemir Shabbos? You know what Shemir Shabbos means? That in order not to be Mechala Shabbos, you have to spend millions. If you have millions of dollars cash in the burning Shabbos, and the burning, you have to make one Yisud Derabonan. One Yisud Derabonan to save the money, you're not allowed to save the money. Chilul Shabbos or not, you have to let $1 million be burned away in order not to be Mechala Shabbos. And if $100,000 make 1,000 people Shemir Shabbos. And you're sitting here, what am I doing here? $100,000 laying in the bank for my child's wedding, which has to take place 5 years from now. Here I have 1,000 Jews, which I could guarantee you they're going to become Shemir Shabbos. Now, what? How could you? So when Asher Baruch Hashem Shiftach Hashem, blessed is the person who is relying on Hashem. Where Hashem Miftach? Hashem is his Miftach. He said, Hashem is my Miftach. He gave me the child. He has the Mary of the child. And I'm like, total Hashem. Will he give money? It's good. Wouldn't he give money? It's also good. And if they wouldn't give money, there wouldn't be money. That means even exchange the money, also money. Therefore, what's the point? If I try to have to keep back the $100,000, I'm giving the $100,000, I'm going to have 1,000 Baal Tshuvas. And he did it. Wow, he's a great man. How long is he great? Until 5 years later, when his child gets married penniless. Then everyone laughs at him. Give it a big shot. You're a wise guy. And everyone's ridiculing him. See, so where's the Torah's emes? He went according to Torah's emes. It took away from all the people who mistaking all the people in the Semedrash, in the French, because all mistaken people don't live with the concept of Torah service. We live superficially, but come on, and everyone is a poisik. Ooh, everyone gives you a shkofer. Everyone is a big poisik immediately. They hardly know. Everyone is poisik. Everyone ridicules you. But and then you see this. The answer is, where is the Torah Semes? He gave it $100,000. Now what is he have? The answer is, Chaya Oilam, not Abba Sefeira. Chaya Oilam. You don't understand, because our life is not what you see immediately. Our life is what comes out later. No, it's in a tear. It's planting. You make an action now, and the product may come out 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. 30 years later it comes out. So this person gets marrying off his child penniless. And why is he penniless? Because he had the fortunate as seichel that he took $100,000, which everyone would have put away for the child, and he fertilized this marriage by producing 1,000 Baal Tshuvas, and he takes the child underneath the chuppah penniless with 1,000 neshomas, which shebaronu lichvoida was marbe kod shemayim. Imagine my children are going to come out from such a marrying. What kind of grandchildren are going to come out from such a marriage? And all of a sudden, from this child, going to come out a grandchild, a great grandchild, a big Rebbe, a big Bal Moses, a big Marbitz Teire, a big Rosh Hashiva, who is affecting Klal Yisrael. And this man is a simple man. His child is a simple man. They don't know. He says, how did this person gain such a big neshama? What is this chus? And very few people will remember what Mesiras Nefesh, how he led his child underneath the chuppah when everyone is laughing and scoffing at him, including his wife, because Kvot Shemayim, the Torah's emes, that's what dominated him. Because we don't see the chayon, not of the, we don't see the outcome, we don't see the later future. My grandfather, Olav Sholem, he was a big Bal Chesed. In fact, he always raised his soymim in his house. It's a big family. The immediate family had a certain resentment against him. A certain resentment. The boys, my father, the brothers, like in the beginning, they used to have my grandmother. That he's the orphans and had a priority over their own children. Anything when he went out shopping, when he went to buying, first all the strangers got, and their own children didn't got. And they had a truck, the first truck in town, which they delivered, seltzer, they delivered, and he needed parts, he couldn't get parts, and then he bought a bus, an old junky bus, purchased old junky bus in order to take up the parts, use it for the truck. So every part which was taken away from the bus was used for something. So the canvas of the seats are such a green canvas. Those days, I mean, 60 years ago, had such a green canvas. But the green canvas, they saw pants for the boys. Who got the green canvas? The boys. The orphans, they got fresh new pants from factory for sewing. So they got like nice, beautiful, freshly pants. And the boys got the green canvas boys, pants, and people were laughing at them. And they felt so blemished. And he says, Tati, he's more than... says, listen, you're going to make a shidduch anyhow. No, you're my son. Says, but this level of this orphan, no, he has to look good. Now, it looked on the short challenge, look what he's doing, Well, that came out later. I know it came out as hundreds of grandchildren, grandchildren, big time with the chachomim, Baal Ches, all kinds of... Where is all the children doing this thing? But he invested it. They were laughing at him over there. But this is... When you lift Torah Semes, there's a high oilam. Every time when you give up something, and this is called bitochen. Now, when you see, this is a chesed that makes it. He makes a chesed in Avshoi, and after he gives away his life, his money, his children, kishishtanin yonoi. All of a sudden, his situation changes, not to the good. The yikzer aboira, and Kushbach will make a gzeira in Masha, ena mapi kritzoinoi. That really... it's not happy with it. You know, there's a new situation coming up. Shiachshav and Avshoy, then the person should think, this Baal Boteach, why is Hashem actually shortchanging me? So the person should think in the Chesem, like a person gave to his friend a present, a house, or a field. And then came the one who received the Matona, to destroy the building, to rebuild the building, to change it around. Is it talking the one who gave him the gift? He says, why did you do it? I gave you a house, how come you destroyed it? I gave it to you, and I want you to do a better job. If you generated your soul and your money for Hashem, you were boteach, and you gave everything to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then Hashem, what do you do? Hashem, I belong to you. What are you doing? You're saying, "Lahaft Hashem alokecha, love Hashem b'chol levav with all your life, b'chol nafshach with all your soul, b'chol medech with all your money." So actually, Hashem says, "I love you. Me, my life, my children, my money belongs to you. It's all yours." Then all of a sudden, Hashem does something with it which you don't like. What are you complaining? You gave it to Hashem. Just like when I give somebody a house, and that is somebody a field, and he takes the field, he changes around, takes the house and changes around. What will I say? Do whatever you want. I gave it to you. You like it better. You want to add. You want to remodel it. Remodel it. I'm not interfering with him. I gave it to you. Same thing to Baal Boteach, the one who relies on Hashem. He gives himself over to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He gives his child away and everything to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And all of a sudden Hashem does with me whatever he was. Why should I complain? I gave it to him. I belong to him. I gave my life to him. I gave my children to him. He wants to do it around. There's no point for me complaining. It's his. Why should I complain, Hashem? Why do you have arguments with Hashem? Listen, I was so. Why did you do it to me? It's yours. I gave it up to you. Actually, Boteach means why Hashem.
that you give everything up to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that you say I have no bailus. Shema, Oretzim, Lo, everything belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. My money, myself, everything is dedicated to Hashem. If you more of Shach, if you give everything to Hashem, why do you interfere? Why are you complaining? Hashem is the right to do everything. This is the chesed you should do. Hashem Atoch says also you, my brother. Imis Nadavta Ben Avshecha. If you were menad, if you generated, you generously gave up your soul, the b'moymoynecho with your money, the lekim for Kodesh Baruch Hu, al te'eval, don't be said al masei b'cho, the way he conducts himself with you, could say the way he wants, but the gosa is the way he leads, gechef to as he wants. B'minenu toiv l'cho b'nirem emene, if you don't see the goods on the surface, if you don't see the goodness Hashem does with you, avol roi l'cho, it's appropriate sh'tenir datcho, sh'tu rely on Hashem, but tismach alayna gosa, it alone is another, not that he knows what he's doing, amul ula, but he knows very what is good for you, exeras dinoi. V'al tachzoi, don't regret what you gave him from you, as you think. See, I wish I wouldn't have done it. Never regret what you had done to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And don't pamper your pain. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a gzar dino. HaKadosh Baruch Hu disciplines a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends somebody, you know, difficulties. We all have Baruch Hashem difficulties. We all have letdowns. What does he say here? Don't focus so much on your pain. Don't be so self-pity. Don't pity yourself that much. He says, don't look at the pain. The ace in the time, don't look at it. Look at why is it coming. Say Gamzi L'Toyer. Say it's Kapuris Avoynes. Say it's coming to me. Say Kodesh Baruch Hu knows he's polishing me. That's what you should say. Don't look, ow, look how much it hurts, look, you're only complaining. A little child also doesn't want to know what's going to come out of it, only focuses on the needle and why it hurts and just cries about it. When you see a Kodesh Baruch Hu is inflicting on you tzar, don't focus on the tzar. Kolshken, more even, sha'ata echad mitzirav, you have to know that you're not a simple, that you are one of his creatures, we are tzercho, he's the one who formulates you, matrifcho, he's feeding you, manhikho, and is conducting your life, betoiv l'cho, which is good for you. You don't know what's good for you. You're a little infant. But Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who carries you. Kodesh Baruch Hu maintains you. In everything which he does it because it's good for you. Begiliecho, if you're smart enough, you could see openly how good it is for you, ibn istalcho, and hidden way, but you don't know what's going to come out later. Even you don't know, see it, but you have to believe that Hashem knows what He's doing. Kama Shenemar, the Pesuk says, "V'noichi tirgalti l'Efraim." I was, how do you call tirgalti l'Efraim? Like when you take a little child and you pamper a child, like you make him happy. But Hashem says, "V'noichi tirgalti l'Efraim." I was Mag l'Efraim, kachom alzri oisav. I took him on my arms, but the other did not care to force him that I'm healing him. You know, sometimes when you take a little child, a little cranky child, and it's cranky and it's crying, and you take the little child and want to give him a needle, and so you take him on your arm, and you hold him, and then you just make a turn, all of a sudden you're shooting the needle, and what do you do to me? But he doesn't know that all I'm doing this is to heal him. So Hashem says, everything that's happening to us, how painful it shouldn't be, is an actually tirgalti l'Efraim. I took you, I was patching with you, I was putting you in the situation, I took you on my arm, and the other, they don't realize, they only complain about the pain, but they don't know kirifosim, all I'm doing this is really to heal and consist of the benefit of the person. So the cheshbon, your beautiful 28th cheshbon is, if you really have bitochen, you gave something up on a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then Hashem didn't do the way you are pleased. First of all, he has the right, you gave it to him, he has the right to do what he wants, like he gave a gift. Second, trust him that is good for you. If you don't see it, make sure that you'll be sure that eventually something good is going to come out of it.
The hardest thing to give up seems to be your ratzon. You can give up your money, give up everything else, but still you have your... That's the hardest thing that's worth it.
And even harder is to reconcile later on when things don't work as well as you think. Not to regret anything. See, when things go hard, not to think, I should have, there's no such a thing. You see, you always have to know when you come to a thing, situation, you have to know, whatever happened had to be finished, and what does Hashem want for me now? There's no should have, would have, would have. If it should have, it wouldn't have been. You can't go against Hashem. It's a very fundamental knowledge which you have to be very in it. Bitochen
means that you can change situations. Everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So where is your bitachon coming into the picture? The attitude to this, for the fact. Facts comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He levada also voices the Chalom Ha'asim. That's a fact. And as we mentioned, the Gemara and the Medrash, there's a blueprint for a child comes out to the world, the baby comes out to the world, and the Neshama is being shown. Everything which you're going to go through in life, who you're going to be married, and what condition the marriage will be, and how many children, and what panosa, and how you're going to die, and when you're going to die, everything is shown in the blueprint. And that blueprint cannot be changed, and it shouldn't be changed. Because we accept it, it's good. This is our mission. This is what we have to, this is what I have to work out. Easy or hard, doesn't matter. The harder it is, the more rewards we're going to get, the more we accomplish things. So where is my bituch, where is my free choice, my creation coming to the picture if it can change? The attitude to the blueprint. To accept it nicely, to be with it, or to complain, and to go, to fight against it, and not to get anyhow, because you're still going to end up with a blueprint. When a person remembers, you're never going to change situations. And whatever Hashem wants is going to happen no matter what. And your reward and punishment will be according how did you dealt with the blueprint. Had you dealt, had you relied always on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had you always consulted Torah Semes, had you conducted your life under the condition of Torah Semes. Now when you have to be with Torah Semes, you have to be cruel to yourself, you have to be selfless, you have to step on you, because the Torah has a totally different look than you look, and that somebody else's look, society looks. Torah has a look of the blueprint. And if I want to know what Hashem wants from me, the only way I can look at, ask Hashem, and ask Hashem is Torah Semes. And a person can never, especially a person who is affected by this, he's too prejudiced to interpret the Torah Semes. If he say lechav is talak masufik, you have to go to a third party, and only third party can say under this condition that's what the Torah wants from you, and not a rab which you shop around, one day him, because again it's your interpretation, because it's only a person who understands the situation from all ends. Because if a rab only understands the situation only from you, so he's totally misled by you, because you're giving him, you even you think that you're honest 100%, and you think that you have the emes, but obviously prejudice here, and one side your subjectiveness goes over, and the question is always relied in one way, so always you have to hear both sides, and a person has to have a little experience, has to have a greater vision, and then the person has to have a certain amount of Yerushamayim and dedication on his own for emes, that the person who is dictating or somebody, guiding somebody else, give up, sacrifice for emes, could only be the one who himself, you know, is also sacrificing for emes. When you see a person who lives very comfortably and is not that much sacrificing for emes and is not carrying emes, you can't expect, he should tell you. Yes, some people do advise with all the emes, but for them they're not emes. That's not a proper advice. What you need in a rav, what you're asking is, but you know, if this rav, how does he conduct his own life? If he goes against himself, he steps on himself too for the emes, then you know you could rely on him. I may make a mistake. If he made a mistake, Hashem wants him to make a mistake. You go back to the blueprint. Nobody could make a mistake out of the blueprint. As long our attitude is Torah, dedication, sacrifice, giving up, as long this is our Torah, there's nothing but you have to worry. And by the way, it's so simple, it's so true. And when the person who acquires this knowledge, his life becomes so easy. He's no ulcers, never gets upset, never gets despair, never is miyuyish. Because, you know, all you have to be willing just to listen to Torah Semes. And when people don't accept it, they always one problem to the other problem. They're always nervous, they're always afraid, I should have this, and he says this, he says that. He's always in confusion. You're never sure with yourself. You're always in doubt. And therefore, it cannot be simcha, because when you die, ain't simcha katoris as fakers. The Rambam said there's no simcha katoris as fakers. Now, the minute that a person has, I have no fakers, I have a Torah Semes, I have no problems on the world. I don't know to myself, I have a Rebbe, I have a person, I talk every little thing, and I know I'm calling this person ready for simcha. I'm not blind. I know we live in a dark world, but I have a flashlight, just as a torch. Hashem is holding my hand and walking me. I don't care what the outcome will be. It's all chayi oil and not a visachen. It's all plantation. All planting future. This is so beautiful to know and so pleasurous to live. You have no problems with it. You could sit back and laugh, see the whole world is collapsing, the whole world is petrified, losing job, there's no panosis in the security system and financial system and everything. That's very good. If people are worried, people talk, they're not to us. So what are you talking about? Can you change the weather? That's the weather. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu's doing. Why do you want to sit back? It's hard, every little hardship. No, other planting. You're going to get. It's simply good to live like tranquility. It's the best tranquilizer. It's the best thing. And this is something, I say, this is a medicine which we have to take 100 times a day to the point you get addicted to it, you get high on it. That's simcha. Once you get the diktaton, bitochen, true bitochen, you're a saved person. And then you could grow endlessly in every area. You're always smiling, you're nice to everyone, you step on yourself with smiles. Because you know what? I'm not shortchanging myself. I can't shortchange myself even if I want. The blueprint is there. So if I have troubles, that's what Hashem wants. Let me at least be mekabel the trouble of the simcha. Why do you have to be in pain? Yes, there's pain, but is the pain really pain? But I know if I don't make $1 million for the pain, will it still be a pain? Yes, it's still pinches, but $1 million I'm getting. You have to know the blueprint to see the pinches are here. Question: what I get for the pinches? What you get for the pinches depends how you take those pinches. How do you take a pinch of Baruch Hashem's counsel and Kodesh Baruch? I'm taking the simcha. You're getting millions of dollars for that. And you complain about it, you're shedding tears, you're shedding sighs for nothing. And you can't change the pinches anyhow. What is what you should ask him? And the 29th says, Shizboinian Yisra Nafshel Gufoy. He should focus and look into the advantage of his neshoma over his body. Just like he looks in himself the advantage of his neshama of his body, he should also see the advantage of certain people over other people. Sometimes you see between people, you can see one man is shokel, is worth more than 1,000 other people. You look at society, look mass people, not people, look at the masses, and you see all of a sudden for the masses you could find one person has 1,000 times more value than other, is affecting more Yiddishkeit more than others. The Yeda, and then you will know, Kisroinoi, that advantage of this man who is weighing 1,000 more than others, it doesn't come from his body, only comes from his neshama. What makes a person advantageous? What makes a person special? Only with his neshama, not with his body. With his body, you could never be that much greater. Yes. The most people, average guy could be 180 pounds. Okay, this guy's 350 pounds. Big deal. So what? Most people have $50,000 a year. This makes $5 million a year. So what? That doesn't make him more worth than 1,000 other people. And you can see all the specialty which people acknowledge that people are special is always coming only mitzad anefesh, only mitzad aneshama. Kama shonema nadovi, like this has been told to Dovi, ke'ato kumoinu asor alofim. You are like us, like 10,000. You, David, you overweight like from us in 10,000. Now, David was a small little person. I was overweight. Means in his neshama. Ask ya noshim sheshlam yisram biyofion. Says, look at this. Look, women. Also, the women have advantage with the beauty. I mean, the women are appreciated if they happen to be simple, physically beautiful. Avakasha techsanu malasanu foshas. When you take away the spirit and the neshama of the woman, take away the chen, the specialty, the spiritual value of the woman, and yofion, no, the beauty is not nice. It's not charming. The noyon misgana, and the beauty becomes disgusting. It's a plastic. It's like a catalog picture. Nothing. It's nothing. So take woman. Woman usually is being appreciated because of the beauty. That's what you want. But what is the beauty of the woman? Beauty when there is a neshama, when there is a neshama underneath, there's spirit underneath. If there is no spirit, the opposite. Just like a golden ring, the jewelry in the nose of a chazir, of a pork, so is isha yofa, a beautiful woman, which is a gold piece, the sora stam, and a disgusting taste. There's no taste. And the same thing vice versa. You could take a woman which physically is not that nice, bodily she's not that nice, but she has a neshama, she has some class, she has a certain spirituality, she has all the chen in the world. Woman is a sheker chen. If you see the chen, the charm, and the beauty is fly, it's a chen. So that's a fact, right? Everyone will agree with it. And also a fact is, when you see people, special people, who one person is overweighing 1,000 other people, affecting 1,000 people, it's always the advantage in the neshama. So now when you recognize this fact, now look at yourself. Who are you pampering? Who are you feeding? Your goof, your body, or the shaman? It's according to your acknowledgement, the Yisroel, nafshecha al gufcho, the more you're going to acknowledge the advantage over your neshama, over your body, according to that you have to be proper to make the investment in curing him, but also in rescuing him. By his master, which is Hamashkif al Zakusav Kadrusa, which is watching on the purity of the neshama. Obviously, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me a body. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me a neshama. And what should I be more sensitive? What should I be more dedicated to work and to vachem, on the body or on the neshama? Of course you do it on the neshama, because he gives you all your advantage. The shivcha genusa, because Baruch is watching you on the praise and the blemishes, and he choose between good. In other words, you could choose good and bad for your body. What food to eat, what not to eat, when to go to sleep, when not to get up in the morning, not to get up on it, that you're taking care of the body. But at the same time, you could also choose good and bad about your neshama. Where will you grow? In a taisa im sikhla im tavosa, how you dent yourself with your sikh, with your intellect, with the tivus. Al kan defo, pkoid in yonei tomit, you should always evaluate the inyan of the neshama continuously. Always be busy evaluating your neshama. Never give up. Every time you gotta be going to sleep at night, making cheshbon to neshama, what are you accomplishing? Get up in the morning. But it says here, al kan defo, pkoid in yonei. Always dedicate yourself and focus on all the inyonim of the neshama tomit continuously. Yoiser, much more mipakducho inyan gufecho, as you watch on your body. You know, one thing we have to know: a person cannot be dedicated to two opposite things. A person is always busy for improving his neshama, chapar anocha mitzvah, grow. And take that person, he's always busy with that, and says he's hungry. You know, I know such man. He happens to be hungry. He goes into a grocery to buy things, goes to a butcher shop, goes into a restaurant to eat. He will have difficulties to choose what to eat. He won't know what to choose. Like what's the difference? Whatever you give is good. Whatever good is good. People who could come home and tell to his wife, you know, tonight please prepare me this and this supper. I like this and this and this. He's busy with his body. When you're busy with your body, you can't be nothing wrong to be busy with your body. It's kosher or not. Your wife does it to you happily. But wait a minute. That moment when you're busy with your body, you're not busy with your neshama. And you gave up something. There's nothing wrong. But wait, but what does it say? It says, Alkem, ploid in your neshama tomit. Always be busy to be makpid on the neshama of the neshama. Yoyis mepagduch in your gufech. Now, we're not saying chas v'shalom to neglect your guf. Because neglecting your goof is also neshama things. It's also a mitzvah. Take care of you is also a mitzvah. But all these excessive things, and that the Chovis Chovis says it is, ain't shnei ahavos miskaimos. You can't have two loves. You can't have two dedications. It's just like, I always say the moshul, in a positive way, in a negative way. Imagine, let's take the positive way. Imagine a diamond dealer, a diamond maven, who purchased a gem diamond for $100,000, and after it's polished and sold the way it should be, it's worth $1 million. But Chas V'Shalom, when it's in the polishing wheel, on the sewing wheel, it gets a glitz, $100,000 becomes worth $1,000. $99,000 is at stake. See, yes, at stake, its investment is at stake. Opposite of making tenfold, making $1 million. Those people can't sleep those nights. You know, those people, you know, go to 47th Street, we see people are crazy, they're chewing cigarettes, they're talking to themselves in the elevators like they're walking out. See, those people are manufacturers of diamonds. They have a lot of money at stake at all times. The simple nervous wrecks. The only time they have peace is Shabbos, because not, the diamond is not on the wheel. So that's it's a massive. So imagine a person like that has a $100,000 diamond on the wheel, and Chas V'Shalom could get a glitz, he could lose against the goose. Could he be busy going to a restaurant and just calling up, please prepare me this and this food, I need it, I like it very much. Well, he just doesn't have it doesn't focus on. Of course he likes it. But come on, something is wrong with eating of my money. This is what we're talking about. Somebody's busy. Same thing, if I look at myself, you're always busy to the neshama, growing. You cannot be busy with mundane things. Also, it's nothing wrong, but how can you have your mind? Let's take a negative thing. You have your only son, Chas V'Shalom, in the intensive care in the room. He's being operated on a life and death operation. You have a 50-50 chance. And he's sitting and saying, till him outside, and it takes a day. In one day is a crucial moment. Every moment is a crucial moment. He's going to die. He's going to stay alive. When you call up your wife, please, what kind of supper you prepare me? Can you? How can you? That's actually what we are. Every moment of our life, we're polishing diamonds. We may lose it, and we may win hundredfold. No, polishing the shoulder. Grow. Pukoy d'alinyon. Pukoy, be careful. And every time, every moment, it's crucial. We may sin, we may fall. We may get trusker. All of a sudden, the Yetzer comes and gives us over the head, and we could trusker. It's life and death. That's exactly what the Torah says. Bechira means chayim b'moves. Life and death is at play. Now, if a person really knows that I'm dedicated to grow between life and death, and I really know it, and I'm dedicated to bechira means chayim b'moves, How could I be simultaneously busy with nonsense? Okay, it's allowed, it's coming, but it's nonsense. So when a person does have this awareness of the height of the neshama and the growing, and special when the person Hashem gave him that, and see, Hashem is good. Hashem is, I said, most people don't even realize how much he could grow. So what does Hashem do? You know, when Marlboro wants to sell a cigarette, hands out free examples. Kodesh Baruch Hu hands out free examples of Medrages, gives us taste of beauty. We all experience beautiful, comes a Yom Kippur, comes a Pesach, comes a wedding, comes situations where we, Kodesh Baruch Hu lifts us up much higher than we are worthy, and gives us a taste of Ruchtamu Uru Kitoiv Hashem, gives us a taste to see the beauty of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Now, the more Kodesh Baruch Hu gave somebody the taste to enjoy Elokus, to enjoy the Aruchnias, and once we tasted it, we were there, and then all of a sudden we turn our back, and we go back to our stupidity. Wait a second, what's going on? I gave you a taste. You saw it, and you see how easily you could get it back. Easily could get it back. But you have to focus on it. That's all. Dedicated to focusing and not giving up. Not giving up. Continue. The minute you're going to give up, one time some two chasanas, we can't stand some star chasanas. On two weddings, you can't dance. Either in the shoma, either good. The minute you're letting the logo in the shoma, your diamonds may crack up, or your child may die. That's Chaim Bemovis. So that's exactly the Cheshbon Nefesh, that if you realize every good person is all in the neshama, you will never, it's not in your hand to make you special in your body. You're not going to get rich as you wish, you're not going to be as handsome as you wish, you're not going to be as pleasurous as you wish. All the Gashmi is not in our hand. One thing is in our hand, I could become Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Rambam says. Every person could become like Moshe Rabbeinu, and every person could become like a Rabban Ben Levat. Those are the language of Rambam. Now, by the way, if you notice, since he put Moshe Rabbeinu opposite of Rav Ben Avot, there was other Rishon. There was Menashe, there was other Rishon. Why exactly Rav Ben Avot? Here is a very beautiful indication occurred to me last few days, a beautiful mind, and I think it's true. Rama doesn't mean to say you've got to become Moshe Rabbeinu. Rama means to say the specialty of Moshe Rabbeinu you could obtain. What was the specialty of Moshe Rabbeinu? That he was a Noisen that he affected Am Yisrael with Torah. One, and he was asking Amis, the Mashiach Shal Amis, he says, every Jew, if you dedicate yourself, you could develop this gift of Moshe, that your presence in this world should affect Klal Yisrael. With Torah, and if you give Torah, you go with Yisrael, you're redeeming Amis. Yisrael. How? Not necessarily go out and preach, make seminars and talk. Sometimes your Torah, your Dalai Damas, your dedication sends out such a laser beam that makes me oirer. Said Rav Avraham Kalinin, Rav Shlomo Kalinin made 80,000 Balei Tshuvas. He didn't speak, go on to speak, he didn't make seminars. But his fire in his private chamber gave out enough fire that 80,000 Balei Tshuvas got his oirer's Tshuvas, became Balei Tshuvas because of his fire. That's called Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu means that you present higher oil, not of Zuchim. The more you give of yourself, the more you're affecting other people. Arise that Moshe Rabbeinu means that you're affecting other people because the richness of the Rav Ben Avot was that Zuchim Machti. What was Rav Ben Avot specially? He was Machti other people, affected other people negatively. So what does the Rambam say? Every Jew could become a positive influence on Am Yisrael as Moshe Rabbeinu, it could become a negative influence to Klal Yisrael. That means if I do a grove avera, when I do a simple dirty avera, now dirty avera doesn't mean I'm killed somewhere, I'm a chal Shabbos, I become an animal to myself and I let myself go, and here I have the neshama, here I know what I have, here I enjoyed it, and I said, hey, put it on the side and I go back to this. It's not only a deteriorated myself, a both loners to Klal Yisrael. Everyone goes down a little bit. That's what the Ramchal says in Sirius Hashanim. Nimtze Oyle, if a Jew goes up, Ma'ale Kola Oyle Mima, the whole world goes up with him. Nimtze Yoyle, when a Jew goes down, Ma'irit Kola Oyle Mima, the whole world goes down with him. Now, if I value my life, my personal life, it's me only. So I say, okay, I'm going to go down. I want to give up something of myself. But the minute when I know that I am the one, I'm the barometer of Klal Yisrael, and I'm responsible for Klal Yisrael, says, what's right? You have to go down on you. You're not going down on you. You're really putting down everyone. Now, he must be paranoid. He must have really a Napoleon complex. What do you mean? I'm so big? He says, yes. That's what the Rambam says. Everyone could become like Moshe Rabbeinu, or your Rav, no matter what. And you're one of them. You're not neither of them. You cannot be neutral. In other words, either you are your Moshe spec, that you influence people, the world, positively, or you're in the negative. Now, how is it? If I'm affecting dealing with my neshama, and I make my Yisra nafshi al gufi,
and make advantage, not grow. Not only I had grown, I made grown Klal Yisrael, because I am in the category of Moshe. And if I advance my body over my neshama, even if I did anything wrong, I became prostak, I am like Rav Ben Avot, I'm making other people down. And that's one of the reasons why it's so hard, if the Chazal tell us to be zona of the Aroyas, be a tail to lions, and don't be Rosh L'Shion, don't be a head to foxes. Because if you live with lions, if you work on yourself, even nothing, you be influenced by them. Your body could easily be healed with the worst diseases when it falls in, than to heal your nefesh, your soul, from the disease of the yetzer. If you let your nefesh, your neshama, fall victim for yetzer, it's much harder to heal the nefesh than the neshama. The spirit of a man will furnish his disease, will help him. However, a depressed spirit, which is has to do with the neshama, me Yisrael, who could lift him up? The man has a certain life which he fights all the bacteria and makes him well. Ruach Yishchal Kermacher, the spirit of a man does furnish life to the disease, to physical disease. However, Ruach Lecheo, a depressed spirit, which has to be done, me Yisrael, who could lift him up? Oh, we call Mishmar Netzoy Lebecho. From every... because the Pesuk says, "Ki mikol mishmar tzoy lebecho, ki mimenu tzoy tzoyus chaim." From every preservance which you have to preserve, the most which you should preserve, watchful, watch your heart. Watch your heart from yetzer hara, right? Because as the Pesuk finishes it, "Ki mimenu tzoy tzoyus chaim," because from your neshama comes out life. And if you watch your neshama, you're definitely going to stay alive.
מגוון שיעורי כל הלשון נמסרים על ידי מגידי שיעורים ורבנים המשקיעים מזמנם וכוחם ללמד לרבים. אם ברצונכם וביכולתכם לסייע ולתמוך במגידי השיעורים ובמוסדות התורה שבאחריותם, תוכלו ליצור קשר ישיר עם הרבנים. לקבלת פרטי מגידי השיעורים ניתן לפנות למשרדי כל הלשון בטלפון 02-581-6622 או בכתובת דואר אלקטרוני lstrudel@hl.com